Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Dub Nation, it's Draymond Green. My head coach Steve Kerr joins Willer and Dibs today, right here on 95.7 The Game.
Sure does. 5 o'clock. They'll be in Houston, already getting ready. These games are going to start coming at you fast now. Tomorrow night in Houston, Warriors with an opportunity to close out the Rockets right here on 95.7 The Game. And I, if I were you, would start calling your boss now or start faking that cough now, because tomorrow starts early. The East Coasters will love tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is a 4:30 tip. Okay? So, you don't want to be working until 5 o'clock tomorrow. Figure it out. Get yourself in front of a TV.
Yep.
Or at least 95.7 The Game at 4:30 tomorrow. Warriors live at 4.
4 o'clock.
Yeah
right here on 95.7 The Game, which, you know, it's less than – it's basically 25 hours from now.
Yeah, exactly
it's
right.
It's a quick turn. And I wonder how that will affect the, you know, the Warriors, where it's a travel. Both teams have to travel. I know that. But Jimmy Butler clearly was a little bit hampered with the tailbone situation. So hopefully he's able to get some comfort on the flight today.
Hopefully. We'll ask Steve how he's looking and feeling and all of that. Indeed, we are in the Laughing Monk studios. Laughing Monk is righteously brewed in San Francisco. Grandy, was it you on the post last night? I only caught a little bit, but did I hear you say something along the lines of, yeah, where are all the Steve Kerr haters now?
Yeah, right? something along those lines.
Yeah, that was you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, where are they?
Buddy Hield in the starting lineup and played Steven Adams off the court?
Well, that's
the hack and Adams?
The hack of Adams with 4 minutes to go changed the game. Because there are certain things in sports for which you have no answer. And we can yell at our television all we want. But there was no answer for Steven Adams' offensive rebounding. Actually, there was an answer. Steve Kerr found it. He found it. And he hacked him twice. Kevon Looney is a hugger. He's that kind of a guy. And so Steven Adams had to get taken out of the game, or else he was about to be parading to the free throw line, and that is not the possession that the Rockets wanted. So he got to be taken out, and immediately things opened up on both ends of the floor for the Warriors. No more block shots by the Rockets.
Right.
No more offensive rebounds by the Rockets. The Warriors were able to play freer, and they came back and won the game. Also, Steven Adams is a free agent. He should be a Warrior next year.
Yeah, but we're not going there.
Quick aside. No.
We're staying in the moment.
Well, but
and you're a big fan of that.
I can say
whatever you want.
I just think somebody like that would be really helpful to in spots for what the Warriors do. That's all.
Yeah, that would mean no more Kevon Looney.
Well, that might be the case anyway.
Yep. But, I mean, I think you could probably keep Kevon for a lot less than what Steven Adams will cost next year. But to your point, if you want to look at the game log, there is 6.5 minutes to go. Adams rebound, Adams missed tip, and then Shagun gets it. It's a putback. Other end of the floor, Adams block. Then back on offense to Houston. Adams rebound, Adams tip layup. He makes it. Rockets up by 3, and you finally get to the point where the Rockets are up by 4, and Steve Kerr makes the call. He orders the code red. And did you order the code red? You're gosh darn
you
right I did.
You're right I did.
Yeah, you're damn yeah. right I did. And it's a Looney foul. 2 seconds later, Looney foul. And then Smith Jr. in for Adams. That'll do it.
There you go. Yep. Substitution.
Yeah, and that's when Draymond came in for Kevon as well. Like, you know, Kevon, easy there. You're about to foul out here in 3 seconds, but... And it was one foul away from bonus, yep. and he would have committed it, and they would have put him on the line, because when you're outside of, I think it's 4 minutes, or it certainly is 2 minutes.
In the final 2 minutes, right. You cannot hack a blank.
You cannot foul off the ball.
Right.
And Steven Adams is not going to be on the ball unless he's rebounding, so Steve Kerr made a great decision to do that, and he basically took him off the floor.
I know that we do this sometimes. Some people dig it, some people don't, but that plus-minus stat... Steven Adams, plus 16 in a game they lost by 3. And for those who don't speak box score, that means that when he was on the floor, the Rockets beat the Warriors by 16 points. He was low-key the problem. And if you got a problem, yo, Steve nice. Will solve it. Okay? Check out the hook while your head coach revolves it.
Nice.
Okay? He fixed that thing, and the Warriors won the basketball game. Steven Adams on the year, by the way. Free throw shooting?
55?
46.
Yeah?
46% free throw shooter.
And 1 of 2 last night, yep. and he would have been heading to the line. And if you're Steve Kerr, you're thinking, okay, go ahead and hit 1 of 2. That means it won't be a Fred VanVleet 3, and it won't be a Şengün 2. If it's an Adams 1, then the Warriors will take that. And we'll ask Steve about that strategy and,
absolutely.
You know, whether or not that's something that they'll look to do again coming up today at 5 o'clock.
Closeout game number 1 underway, tipped off in Indiana, Pacers and Bucks. This is the where's Giannis want to play next year game, possibly, if the Pacers can win it. Yes, the Eastern Conference could be down to the conference semifinals by the time we go to bed tonight. 3 elimination games in a row, and then the nightcap will be the bloodbath in Denver, game 5 between the Clippers and the Nuggets.
Yeah.
But buckle up for a long day of basketball starting right now. Right now.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
It's really good. It's really good. Okay, let's go to Dub Dad in Pleasant Hill. Hi, Dub Dad. What are you doing?
What's up, fellas? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Got a lot to talk about. I think when I came on, I was... a take on Jimmy Butler and why he's helping us win. And there's one word for that. There's one reason why Jimmy's fitting in so well, and it's the Golden State Warrior culture. Jimmy Butler is a winner. The problem he's had at every team revolved around losing and him feeling like the people surrounding him were not contributing at the same level of effort that he was putting into it. You don't see Jimmy Butler showing up out of shape. You don't see Jimmy Butler winded. He ain't never breathing hard. That's because he puts in the work. He's got the work ethic that fits into the Warriors culture, just like Stephen Curry, just like Draymond Green, and now Pazinski, right? This kid's showing up, and he ain't never tired because he's putting in the work. And that's why they're winning with Jimmy Butler, because Jimmy Butler's a fit for the culture of the Golden State Warriors.
Well, and Dub Dad, I don't think it's a bad point at all, but my response to it is, who knew? Who knew? Like, let's be real. Never before in our lives have people run around in NBA circles and been like, ooh, Jimmy Butler, amazing culture guy.
Right, glue guy.
That's literally the opposite of what we've heard for over a decade. And so whether the Warriors culture gets credit, whether Jimmy gets credit, I'm sure there's plenty of credit to go around. But the bottom line is, yeah, man, this thing has not only fit perfectly, but Jimmy has opened my eyes to some things that I didn't know that he was.
Right, and what he is an absolute closer, and he's a glue guy, and just the way he fought through the pain of his bruised tailbone to make the plays that he made last night, 5 free throws that he made down the stretch, and the huge rebound that secured the game. That was basically why they won. Steph Curry was very quiet in the fourth quarter. He was quiet for most of the night offensively. And, you know, Buddy was huge, and Pazemski,
Pazemski,
whatever he called him. It counts. It all counts.
I
the
know.
Same.
I thought our days of that had ended. But
no, never. Yeah, no, yeah. They never will go away. And so, you know, as good as he was, you still needed Jimmy Butler to be huge in the fourth, and he was.
Let's keep going. 888-957-9570. How about Ben in San Mateo? Hi, Ben. Thanks for calling.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, man.
I wanted to say that I think everybody at some point in their life has had like a good roommate or a bad roommate, and Butler is being the good roommate right now. He is aware of everybody else on the team, their little tendencies. He's, you know, the kind of guy where if you forgot something at home, you can count on him to maybe know what it is or maybe fix it by the time you get home. He's filling that spot where it seems like a really easy fit, but it's really, really hard to come by. And just give him credit. Like, he's understanding all the little small things of his teammates, and he's just making them better, you know, off the court as well as on the court. So that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, Ben, I absolutely love it. That's kind of what my number one, and I think to have a good roommate, you need to be self-aware. You need to be aware of what's going on around you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You clean up after yourself. Don't let mold go on the food in the refrigerator, all of that stuff.
And do your dishes.
Yeah, the awareness.
Don't make a mess.
The awareness is a great word for what has pleasantly surprised me with regard to Jimmy Butler, is the full awareness of everything that's going on around him.
Absolutely, and just to do it in 2 months' time, to come in and hit the ground running and immediately figure out what you need to do to help this team and immediately become that guy. And, you know, even for the time that he wasn't here, the team was good and solid, but they needed that person. And for him to come in and fit like that with so many different people, it's been huge.
We've said it before that Jimmy is a calming influence. Kind of feels like a shower after a hike, as we've said a couple of times. You know what else feels like that? In at the Tides.
Okay.
We are sponsored by In at the Tides. Experience the wonder of Bodega Bay at the iconic In at the Tides. Enjoy a walk on Duran Beach and take a dip in the heated pool. I've been there, by the way. It's fantastic. You should go. Special midweek rates start at just $199 per night now through May 1st. Breakfast is included. Also delicious. Book your escape at inatthetides.com. All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll keep going with your phone calls. We're going to have a special Buddy Hield segment is still ahead later on this hour. And Steve Kerr joins us at 5. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Şengün comes outside, wants the ball. Draymond denies him. Ball goes to Van Vliet instead. Back to Şengün up top. Şengün dribbles on Draymond. 9 seconds, 8 seconds to the paint. Spins, jump hook for 14. It's up and no good. Rebound, Butler. Butler is fouled with 4 seconds to go. Draymond got the stop when the Warriors had to have it. Butler. Second free throw's out of the way. It's up and good. 109-106. Rockets out of timeouts. Şengün. The Warriors leading by three. Snaps a pass into Van Vliet. Van Vliet up the far sideline. Takes the heave at the buzzer. It's no good. It's no good. The Warriors hang on.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
What you just heard was a man in his happy place. It was Tim Roy, and he was in his bag.
Oh, yeah.
All night long. oh, gosh. He got mad at the refs on one of those. Ooh. He called it ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Ridiculous, Dibs.
And which one was that?
I think it was when Steph got the tech. Wasn't it when Steph got the tech that Tim was like, well, they're going to call a tech? And that's ridiculous.
It was, yeah. He played the cut earlier. I was at the game, so I didn't get a chance to hear Tim Roy a lot of it. But yeah, there was a lot that was head scratching, to say the least. And the one for me was the one you're describing, where Steph gets a tech and Brooks gets a tech. And I thought that was a classic double tech. And like it or not, Steph Curry, I mean, it was a taunt. It was kind of a weird taunt because he was on his back, but he clearly gestured at Brooks and said something that, I'm not saying that it was the most aggressive taunt of all time.
I saw it,
and I thought in real time, that's going to be a double tech, which is weird because it's a villain. Dylan the villain and the baby-faced assassin.
Steph Curry. I'm like, how are we putting these two guys in the same sentence?
Draymond Green catches a Dre, as we now call it. Not a stray. He caught a Dre. And it's like, oh, of course. I mean, Draymond was in the building, so he gets one, too.
Yeah, I would love that. One of these where Draymond's like over there on the exercise bike or something.
Right.
And they're like, oh, by the way, we've also assessed a Category 2 technical foul on Draymond Green because he's over there breathing. So he gets one, too. Yeah, Grady, what do you got?
I'm not sure if this makes it enough for Steph to get the tech, but it also was a buildup from the play before because there was the review. It initially was called a foul, not a foul on Dylan Brooks, and they reviewed it and called it a foul. And as Steve Kerr began to signal to review it, Steph walks past Dylan Brooks as the two are heading to the benches and points straight at him and kind of like hits his shoulder as he walks by. So there was some build up there. And then the next thing happened, and then Steph holds up two fingers to Dylan Brooks, probably says something like, hey, you got me twice now or something.
Well,
whatever,
listen, all I can do in this situation is go, does that count as taunting? Sure, I guess. My problem is I've watched literally, I got playoff basketball coming out of my ears the last 3 weeks. And if that's taunting, then says everything. Are you watching these guys?
Oh, yeah.
They are in each other's shorts on every play. They are screaming the most unsavory crap you could possibly imagine right in each other's noses after every single play. And we're teeing up Steph Curry because he held up a couple fingers.
Two of them, Mark.
at the same time.
Right.
That's all. I just want things to match. I don't care that it was Steph. It's not about that. It's just like I'm trying to understand. I just want to understand. That's it. I just want to understand. And I don't understand. I don't understand how that stood out to the refs as, oh, that's the problem. Jimmy Butler can sit there on the free throw line and call Dylan a bum, a B.
Yeah. Oh,
he can do all that. And
well, that's just conversation.
No one's worried about it. That's not taunting.
No, those are grown folks exchanging ideas.
That's not inciting anything.
That's a conversation.
But if Steph Curry, who's laying on his back, holds up two fingers at Dylan Brooks, now we got a problem. We're inciting a riot.
Right, because Dylan Brooks responded to that taunt.
That's Dylan's problem.
Well, in the moment, it turned out to be Steph's problem as well.
I mean.
And the other weird one, and you talked about this in the postgame, Grandy, and I heard at least an hour of it as I was making my way back to East Bay. The Steve Kerr delay a game, and we'll ask him about that because, you know, they wanted to challenge and then they waited too long, and so now he does the twirly, twirly finger, and it's like, no, that's too long. No challenge and delay a game, and it's their second infraction.
Technical foul.
That's a T. So it's something that, you know, yeah.
Grandy, I didn't understand any of them.
That one I kind of understood because I was watching it from up above. I'm like, that must have been delay a game.
Well, I mean, I get it. I understand what they're saying. We haven't even gotten to the one that I found the most confusing of all. Like Tari Eason tackles Jimmy Butler. They go to review and they come out and they're like, foul on Steph. I'm like, he's 6 feet. He's not even there. What do we?
When was that? Because I
don't know. The whole thing's a blur.
What about Draymond flagrant Tari Eason tech to keep Draymond in the game?
Well, that one I thought that was the one where I'm like, ooh, Warriors caught a break there. I kept telling. I'm sitting there with Christy. I'm like, ooh, I think they're gonna throw him out.
If Draymond didn't already have a tech, it's 100% a double.
It's a tech. Absolutely, yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah, see, I see it differently.
I thought they got creative. I thought they went over there and somebody whispered in somebody's ear. We probably shouldn't throw Draymond.
What did you see, Dibs?
I think when you look at it, the infraction initially is Draymond fouls. Draymond gets picked and he dives in and he fouls, but then he does the classic Draymond Green spill into a guy and press your feet into his face and drive him into the floor. That's not a technical, that's a flagrant. So for me, when I saw all that activity, I thought, you know what? I could see it. I can see it either way.
That's so interesting because it's sort of after the play. You're no longer within the act of the basketball play.
Which makes it excessive.
But no, it makes it a technical.
Yeah,
like, what would be interesting, because I see it as very much Sabonis and Steven Adams and LeBron and all of those things. I see it as those things. Were those things called flagrant fouls? Or were those things called technical fouls?
I'll have to look up the Sabonis one because...
Like, to me, those were technical fouls. And ejections at times. So I thought they got creative there and found a way to keep Draymond in the game. And so that's why I'm not like...
The Draymond stomping was a flagrant too.
Okay.
So
that's the Sabonis one?
Correct.
Right?
Where he, you know, Sabonis is down, he steps on him, and he kind of pauses, and he does like a little twist, and he jumps, I'm on you. I'm off you. I jumped off you. You're my trampoline.
How about a Nurkic and a Gobert? Let's not forget all those.
Gobert was definitely a flagrant because that was after a play. He just straight up choked a guy.
So that was a flagrant or a technical?
I believe it was a flagrant. I'm just Googling.
Yes, I don't.
So I started with Green stomp Sabonis.
It was probably all of them.
Now we'll go with Green chokes. Oh, it comes right up. It's funny because... Green Chokes Kerr is on there.
By the way, Rudy Gobert on tap potentially for round two.
Oh, I know.
Rudy Gobert.
Yep.
Every series has somebody who wants to get after Draymond Green. Every series. And he'll be there.
Yeah.
The Gobert one was a flagrant two.
And just looking at it.
No technical?
No technical.
Okay.
The score was 0-0. We were scoreless. And we were 90 seconds in.
That was a hockey fight.
And Klay Thompson gets tangled up with Jaden McDaniels, and then Draymond comes in for the flagrant too.
You know how there's some of those hockey fights where the guys, it's already predetermined.
Oh, we're gonna drop the gloves.
The second they drop the puck, they're just whack. Yep. Two guys are going at each other, and that's what happened in that one with Gobert.
Oh, and if you Google Green hits There's a few of them that come up there, too.
Nurkic?
Yeah.
Did we get a Nurkic in there?
Yeah.
Look, maybe...
Anyway.
I don't know. I'm not...
These are mostly flag rates,
yeah, I'm not a rule book guy, so maybe you're right on that one. I tended to think that things that happen sort of after the whistle is blown as technical fouls. Those are technical fouls. You're not a foul. You're not even playing basketball anymore.
Right.
You're just two guys laying on the ground, and one of them started to beatbox the other one in the head with his feet. But whatever. Yeah. I don't know the rule.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought it was less like he actively put his, like, forced his legs into Tari Eason's head, and more so they were resting there, and he made no effort to remove them. It wasn't resting. Like there was a lot of force behind it.
You are my ottoman.
Listen to these conversations.
I thought
that he used his shoelaces to strangle the guy. I mean, whatever we're saying here, it's not good. It's not good.
The way Granny just described it's hilarious. I thought that he was just resting there. Like, I fouled you, and I'm tired. It's been a long series. I'm going to go ahead and just keep my feet on your head.
If it was game one, I would levitate, but it's exhausting.
Shout out to Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, 888-957.
Anyway,
a bunch of people want to weigh
found
in.
It as a, I found it to be more of a flagrant than attack.
And it was, and you're right, and that's good, and it kept Draymond in the game. In that moment, I was ready for them to come out and throw him out of the game.
Yeah.
I thought it was possible. And when they said flagrant, I'm like, oh, look at you evil geniuses. Look at how you maneuvered your way through that one. So anyway.
But now we do have to monitor the flagrant standings and the technical foul count for Draymond. And for Steph, apparently.
Why? What's the situation?
Well, you get to, I think, 5 points of flagrance, and you get suspended for a game.
Okay.
Which is why he got suspended in the NBA Finals when he punched LeBron in the nards. It's because he had already accumulated points. He body slammed Beasley. He flail kicked Steven Adams. And by the time he came to where he popped LeBron in the family jewels,
good Lord.
It was an accumulation sensation, which is why he missed a game.
This is
Man.
It's like, real quick.
Like your driving record.
Totally.
Like, I'm sorry, accumulated too many points. Your insurance is going up.
Before you go to the phones, this isn't about the flagrant, but about the tech that he picked up for as part in the Steph and Dylan Brooks scrum. Here is what Draymond Green said about the tech.
Yeah, I got a technical tonight, and that was guys way more aggressive than me. So, that's crazy.
I mean, I don't disagree with him on
that
one. If you want to talk about the flagrant on Tari Eason, look, there's no real way. Whatever the hell happened, and I love when we get into who started it, who cares? It's not third grade. Draymond was definitely over the line on that exchange. Whether he did this, that, or the other with his feet, he's grabbing the guy's shorts. He's grabbing a jersey. It's another Draymond tangle up. And I was terrified of it because it was happening after there was already a technical foul. And I'm yelling at the screen like, dude, you're going to get yourself knocked out of the game. Like, stop. The first one, that's a reputation tech. That's a reputation technical foul.
Yep.
And I personally didn't like Steph getting a technical. I didn't even think Brooks needed to get one. But I,
for sure, he needed to get one.
Well, but I thought that he was the aggressor of the whole situation physically. Steph, I guess, was the aggressor mentally. And if you want to assess for that, go ahead. But I just find it very funny in watching these NBA playoffs that you're going to find it in your heart to give someone a tech for taunting.
Yeah.
You're being mean.
Well,
these guys are completely out of the area code on every play, every series. It's totally out of control. And we're going to get Steph for holding up fingers? That felt a little odd to me.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I could see it. And for the flagrant fouls, it's 4 points and you get suspended. And a flagrant.
What's he at?
I think he's only at one. That was his first flagrant, right?
But it's his second technical, right?
Right. Techs are different. There's the technical foul table, and then there's the flagrant foul table. And if you get 4 flagrant points, which would be 4 flagrant ones, or flagrant twos are worth 2 points. It's all a thing, Mark. And I hate that we have to know this, but we have to know this.
Is he going to win the Kia Flagrant Player of the Year award? When is that being announced?
Brought to you by Right Guard.
Yeah,
I believe.
I would think that he would. All right, let's get back to the phones. People want to chat it up. Mo in Hayward. Hey, Mo, what's going on?
Mo.
What's up, fellas? What's up, man? So listen, I'm gonna try to be quick.
Okay.
But you touched on a lot of things after the fact that I want to get into too. First of all, let's go back to the coaching. I called a couple weeks ago, talked about Kuminga, and talked about him being, you know, Steve Kerr liking smart players being on the floor, and to speak on Jimmy, Jimmy is a glue guy that is also a dog that is also smart. So this is why he fits so well in the system, and a lot of reasons why Kuminga doesn't. Okay, where I would have liked to see Kuminga being used is when Shangoon got those first two fouls, send him in as a blunt instrument and say, go pick up that third foul. Go at his head. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like it was the way that we could have got him off the floor. You know what I mean? Because he was killing us at a particular point in time. But as far as the coaching is concerned, the chess match between Udoka and Kurt, man, Udoka should be getting tired of getting spanked, bro. We did it to him in Boston. We're doing it to him now. And it's becoming sad at this point. You know what I mean? What I did like as far as what I like about the whole playoffs at this point in time, especially with this series, is they're letting the guys play. You know what I mean? I didn't understand the little scrum that we had last night on several occasions, but the Dylan Brooks situation with Steph, if you would have saw earlier in the game, when Dylan picked up his first foul, it was against Steph, and he held up the one finger. Right, and he held it up in Steph's face and said, "That's the first one."
Right.
So when Steph got him on that second time, that's when he threw the two up. Now you can say it was taunting, but it's an inside game within the game. You know what I mean? And refs didn't understand that, or I mean, it wasn't a thing where they needed to understand or not understand. They didn't call that. You know what I mean? They called the reaction to it. You know what I mean? So I just think the guys and the fellas, man, they're grinding. They're doing what's necessary to get done to get past these guys. And I'm just proud of how they come together. I want to see more of the Buddy and Jimmy show because it's fucking hilarious. I mean,
oh, okay. Thanks, Mo. Appreciate that.
Yeah, it was a good run, Mo.
While it lasted.
Yeah.
Felt a little
close
bit like.
Close the book on Mo. Give him 8 1/3.
Kind of felt like Miami Heat run through the playoffs.
Right.
It was inspiring at first. Came out of the play-in tournament. Put up a good fight early, and then it fizzled and went away.
That never gets old.
No, it doesn't. Anyway, so
Steph actually made a comment about that very thing, like, you know, where they always catch the second guy. I don't have the comment
well,
in front of
life.
Me. But,
I mean, that happens a lot. You see that in football a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Linemen getting into it, and whoever is kind of reacting, not the instigator, but whoever reacts is the one who gets caught. Again, whether he started it, whether he was second, I have watched so much happen in these playoffs that I have a hard time believing that we're going to stop the game because two guys pointed at each other. It's like, wow, that's what stood out to you? Okay, they're not wrong. I can't say they're wrong. I'm just like, that's what caught your eye in these playoffs? Two guys pointing at each other?
It was more than that, but...
How?
Well, Dylan Brooks got up and took a swing at the basketball after he got pointed at with two fingers by Steph Curry. So
then that's Dylan Brooks problem.
Well, whatever the problem is, we all want the refs to have control. And many people are saying they lost control of that game. And I don't think that's a wrong assessment. And so the way you regain control of a game as a ref is by calling a lot of fouls and tamping down these sorts of incidents that may or may not be boiling up.
I'm with you, but if the word we're all focused on is physicality, then let's keep the punishment on things that are physical.
Yeah, and that was physical.
No, it wasn't.
Dylan Brooks was.
Yes, but Steph wasn't.
But, I mean, in
Steph
the referee's
held up two fingers.
Eyes, I mean, he was the one who instigated it through his nonverbal taunt. And we can get into this, and you and I have had a big debate about, you know, how players shouldn't get technical fouls for expressing their feelings to referees in certain ways and in certain manners, and that's just the way it goes in the association.
Let's go live to Mark Grandy with this Game 5 Warriors injury report.
Yeah, the Warriors just submitted their injury report for tomorrow, and there's only one name on it. It is Jimmy Butler, and he is probable for tomorrow's game.
I
so better than he was yesterday.
That's as good as you could have hoped that injury report to sound. That's perfect. One name on it and better than questionable. That's a perfect injury report in this situation.
Yep. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. How about Bleacher Dave in West Oakland? What's going on, Bleacher Dave?
What it do, y'all? I'm
What's
glad
up?
Y'all not so soft as me again.
He's the legend.
Come on, man. Bring it.
Man, look, last night's game in series overall, I haven't been listening, so I don't know if y'all talked about this. And I saw this in a report, the shot clock, the refs didn't notice the shot clock didn't work for the first five possessions. I think that's a sign of how poor some of the officiating was last night.
This is news to us, Bleacher
Dave.
Yeah,
I didn't notice it,
yeah,
Dave.
Nobody, you're saying the shot clock didn't work for the first five possessions?
It took five possessions for the refs to notice the shot clock wasn't working.
Huh.
It wasn't on and get it on. And that's I think that's an example of how this thing got away from them. Look, those first two games in Houston were ridiculous. And so, you know, we like physical stuff. I like to see players getting after each other. But some of that, you know, I'm in Thompson, you know, taking the elbow at Zimski when a ref turns his head. And just so much of the extra stuff, which is, I think goes beyond. You know, they're pushing and grabbing and holding Curry. He's not getting the calls. You kind of expect that. Some of the other extracurricular stuff is ridiculous. Now, after they lost game three, I fully expected that Udoka went to his team and said, look, they're not going to call fouls. Go out there and be dirty and rugged. And, oh, by the way, if we can get one of our guys kicked out or one of their guys kicked out, i.e. Brooks and Draymond, that might be a good thing. And so while his team, I don't think, was as nasty as they were, when the refs called a tech on Curry and Draymond in that first scrum, that was a bad mistake, that they then had to rescue themselves from and not get Draymond kicked out because nobody's here for the ump show. We do not want to see the umps kicking players out. People are paying good money, including the league and the TV people, to see Draymond play. And so while nationally people are like, they should have kicked him out, nobody wants to see premier players kicked out of a playoff series.
That's true. Bleacher Dave, thank you. You're absolutely right. Look, we all pick and choose which things grab our attention and anger us when it comes to what they're calling. Look, the physicality in these playoffs is not the fault of the refs. The physicality in these playoffs, I don't even know if necessarily I buy this idea that we hear everywhere with, they're allowing more. Now, I think they might be calling the game the way they always call it, but the players are doing a lot more. The players, like, the intensity is up.
Yeah.
So they're playing They're playing different. The refs aren't doing anything different, and maybe that's what people are noticing. It's like, we actually need you to do something different because the players are doing something different, and if you just kind of keep running the same exact way, that's going to lead to something different. I don't know where the exact line is. And again, all in all, I didn't have an issue with the refs through the game last night. I just, every time they went to review, they came out with what I thought was a very head-scratching answer.
An interesting answer. And Bleacher Dave just pointed something out that I don't believe any of us realized, including the three officials and every single person on the court. The opening four possessions, the shot clock did not move.
You've confirmed this.
I just looked at the video replay, and on all four possessions, it's just at 24.
Okay, but are the refs running that maybe manually then when that happens?
Not usually. They would stop the game, and they would make sure that the shot clock is actually working.
Okay.
They're not going to run the game. So the three refs didn't realize it. The people at the scorers table didn't realize it. None of the coaches. And you got 15 coaches on either side and 10 players on the floor. So everybody was so locked in. Bleacher Dave with a great insight.
Great,
I had no
observation.
Idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Although it also means that they weren't, and the game was kind of fast early, so they weren't using the shot clock.
No.
Like, they would have noticed if somebody had had a 22-second possession.
Sure. Yeah.
Someone would have looked up at it, but never needed it. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Steve Kerr, an hour and 20 minutes. Plenty more of your phone calls. Those of you on hold, stay right where you are. And also coming up next, I do want to get to the fan experience with Buddy Hield. What is your fan experience,
Buddy,
with Buddy Hield? I'd like to compare it to something that I, quite frankly, just personally, I deal with on a daily basis. And we wonder what your experience is watching Buddy Hield play basketball in the playoffs for your favorite team. This is Willard and Dibs.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Draymond's got the rebound. Out to Curry. Curry has traffic go by him. Comes up the floor to Buddy Hield. Takes a dribble. It's a three. It's good! Buddy Hield has given the Warriors a one-point lead. It's 102-101.
Hey, Aries, Buddy Hield. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7, The Game.
Buddy!
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 Buddy. I mean, which buddy do you want?
Buddy.
Dude, I had probably 23 buddies yesterday. And again, no cheering in the press box, but, you know, I'm just kind of out loud and like, buddy, buddy. And my friend to my right, who, and I will actually will get her name at some point, because we had a nice little conversation back and forth. And one thing she said to me was, I don't want anybody not named Steph Curry shooting a three the rest of this game.
Oh.
And then Buddy stepped back from 27. Good.
Wow.
And I looked over and she's like, okay.
Okay,
I
mean, that one.
Well, it's funny because they went through a stretch and it's like, Draymond, okay, you hit your first two. You're still Draymond Green. And hi, this is Quentin Post. Well, Quentin, you're a rookie and you're not quite ready. And well, Pods got on the heater fine.
Yeah,
that's
Pods was
different.
Good.
But
really good.
And even like the Jimmy Butler one, line drive Jimmy, I call him, where he rises up from the corner and Jimmy goes up to shoot a three and it's like, Nolan Ryan. That thing is an absolute laser beam.
Yeah, if you've been a Warrior fan for a while, there's some Rod Higgins in Butler outside shot.
But the Buddy Hield experience is like all the different buddies like, Buddy! And then, Buddy.
Buddy.
And then like he hits the side of the backboard. He dribbles it off his leg.
Yep.
Then he gets back-to-back steals and hits two threes.
He was fantastic in the end. If you watched on TV, you saw that Shaq basically did his halftime breakdown on all the things that Buddy was doing wrong.
Tell me what he said.
I couldn't hear what he said. No, I was at a sports bar, but, you know, Buddy, you're going to need to hit some shots. You need to stop hitting the side of the backboard.
He's
got a highlight package of Buddy missing shots, hitting the backboard. It's classic Buddy. And then Buddy comes out, and he did do some really good things in the first half, too, as we'll talk to Steve about. Steve Kerr basically said Buddy Hield set the tone for the game on defense, which is bananas.
Yeah.
Bananas. But then he hit some shots in the second half. It was one of his better moments as a Warrior. And for me, the fan experience of watching Buddy Hield is very similar to what often develops between parent and child, which is to say, you root for this person like you root for no other. And when he does well, the joy that pours out of your heart is overwhelming. At the same time, he makes you yank most of the hairs out of your head. He drives you nuts on a daily basis. He makes you question every decision. He makes you want to sit him down and talk to him on a daily basis because of the wayward decisions that he is making with his life. And just when you think you can't take it anymore, splash.
Mm.
In Şengün's face, and you want to take him to dinner.
Yeah.
That's the Buddy Hield experience. I have that experience every day.
With one of your various kids.
It's
that
in
you
my
have.
House.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. You got 11, 15, and 18.
I should probably start calling him Buddy.
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 Yeah, seriously.
Hey.
Like, do your homework. Dad, no, I don't want to. And next thing you know, he's like doing something nice for his sister or walking the dog or cleaning up his room. It's like, I was down on you, but not anymore.
Your impression has way too many words. There's never, Dad, I don't want to. It's
a grunt. Totally.
If you're even able to get a sound. Sometimes you can't even get a sound. There's no sound.
It's interesting because I'm at the other end of the spectrum
where a lot of sounds.
My 2.5-year-old, all she does is offer words. And it's like, sometimes the commentary is too much. I wouldn't mind just like a grunt or a yes or a no. I get full elaborate answers from a 2.5-year-old.
Let's go out to the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line where 408 has texted in. Buddy is the guy in the office everybody loves. The guy you root for to succeed. And when he does, you're happy for him because you feel he deserves it. Here's the part that you're leaving out. He's also the guy that microwaves food without a paper towel over the top so that it explodes all over the microwave and then he doesn't clean it up.
Yep. Or microwaves fish. Like, if you're the person who brings fish to work.
I did that to you one time.
Dude.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
It was way back in the beginning.
Yes.
I was like, dude, chill. I get to eat whatever I want.
You do. But if you're the person who brings fish in and microwaves it in a small office.
I get it.
Yeah. Famously, Haberman and Middlecoff had food brought in, and it was like curry.
Curry!
And it like ruined the studio for like 3 days.
You can't do that.
Right. I mean, that's kind of the Buddy Hield experience. And I'm just looking at his game log.
Curry!
They're up 6-2, and there's a steal. Pods breaks it loose, and Buddy gets it. And it's a 1-on-2-ish, and Buddy just shoots from 27. I mean,
you know what's funny? In the moment,
I'm just gonna shoot it.
Like looking back at it, and that was one of the clips that Shaq played, which is like, "What are you doing? Why are you shooting this with basically a layup sitting there for you?"
And Curry is trailing the play. Like if you penetrate and just flip it behind you, well, now Steph gets that same open 27 footer.
Did Steve introduce Buddy to Steph again? I don't know. We can ask Steve here in an hour. But yeah. In the moment, though, I got it because I was like, yeah, Buddy, like, shoot an open three. Because I'm pretty sure if you drive this to the hole or if you try to throw a pass, it's going to turn into a turnover.
For sure.
I'm sure that it will. But then he missed it.
Yep.
He missed the three.
60 seconds later, Pods penetrates and they kick to Buddy. And it's listed in the NBA.com box score as Hield 3-point jump bank shot. It's a shot from the corner. And it's listed as a bank shot.
It's a bank shot.
Because you know what? It turned out to be a bank shot. It hit the top corner of the backboard and then careened out. So his first two efforts were a 1-on-2, 27-foot heat check, minute into the game, and then a bank shot from the corner. Buddy.
Buddy.
Come on.
What are you doing?
Right?
And then?
Buddy.
Buddy will win you the game. Hey, my guy.
Totally.
My guy. All right. How about Emmanuel in San Jose? Hey, Emmanuel, what's going on?
How you doing, guys? Doing a great job out there. Got a couple of pointers for you guys. I want to see what you guys think about it.
Okay.
Number one, why is it that Draymond Green is so phenomenal and he can stop Shangoon where he can't score a bucket in the fourth quarter? And yet we threw three guys at him in the third quarter, and they couldn't stop the guy. And if you look at his game, it is, you know, he goes in, he does this tornado moves, and that's all there is into it. Why can't we do anything better with that? That's point number one.
Because Draymond's a brilliant defender, Emmanuel. That's why, like, this is a generational defender.
Phenomenal. Yeah, but they should learn from him.
Yeah, but
they
it's not.
Learn from him because,
that's like saying somebody should watch Steph shoot and just do that too. You know what I mean?
Like Patrick Mahomes. You all should be having the underhand pass in like your repertoire.
Yeah, this guy's just brilliant. But anyway, what's your second point?
Second point. How do you see us compare against Cleveland?
Ooh, boy, you're really jumping ahead. Okay, thanks, Emmanuel.
Cleveland?
Boy, you want to talk about something my mind is not even on, which is the Western Conference Finals or the NBA Finals.
I mean,
I'm not even to Minnesota yet. Not even close. This is going to be hard tomorrow. really hard.
Agreed. I told you yesterday that I thought they'd win in five. I thought they'd win game four, and I thought they'd go to Houston, and the veterans would close them out. But after the way that game went last night, I'm less confident about game five. I'm not more confident up 3-1. I'm less confident because of exactly what it took to win that game. It took everything you had, and Houston played pretty well, by and large. They had a couple of boneheaded mistakes late, but in general, and Grandy, you had a great comment about the nine-minute stretch, the first 4 minutes of the first quarter, and the first 5 minutes, I think, of the third quarter, and the Warriors outscored them 38 to... Give me the numbers, because when you said it, I almost crashed my car.
First 420 of the first quarter, 16-4 Warriors. First 440 of the third quarter, 18-1 Warriors. So in those 9 minutes, it was 34-5 Warriors. In the other 39 minutes of the game, 101-75 Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, that if I wasn't going 1 mile an hour, I probably would have had a fatal car crash.
No,
but literally in park. 101-75.
The way they started the halves was absolutely out of control.
So when you look at the totality of that game, 101-75 for 39 of the 48 minutes, the Rockets were the better team in that game.
Mm.
And
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I don't know. You cherry pick when you're like, let's just take these minutes and let's take away all the good minutes. And then the Rockets were the better team. If you want to say they were the better team for more of the minutes,
right?
I'll buy that. But you know what I've learned, and I think we learn this over and over in the NBA playoffs, and it's an impossible mistake to stop thinking about, but the games have nothing to do with the previous game.
You're right. You're right.
Like every game totally has its own personality. And so I know I feel the same things you feel, and you want to apply them to tomorrow night, you can't. The tomorrow night is its own. Is Fred VanVleet doing that tomorrow night?
Yeah, no, probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
But is Jalen Green going to come back and score 25? Might.
The one constant for them has been Şengün,
right?
And he's been phenomenal. And, you know, to the caller's point about why can't the rest of them do what Draymond does, and you're right. Like, Draymond is a generational, all-time elite defender. Yep. And even at that, what Draymond does is he's not as big as Şengün, but he knows how to be vertical. He knows how to move laterally. He knows how to accept the brunt of that first hit, because you saw Şengün and he was just dropping the shoulder into everybody, GP2 and whoever was guarding him, and just moving you deeper. You can't do that to Draymond Green because he's sturdy like that.
Yep. He's just brilliant. He's a brilliant defender, and thankfully he had not been thrown out of the game or gotten his sixth foul yet. And so it worked out. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.